The views and opinions expressed on the cap are those of the hosts. They do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Old Note Media. Any opinions stated aren't intended to offend anyone.
On episode 504 of the Cap Podcast, we discuss Might Delete Later by J. Cole. Welcome back. This is episode 504 of your critical but accurate tour through Hip Hop The Cap Podcast. We are your tour guides. I am Nate Sperling. That is Taylor McLeod. Thank you for tuning in on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever else you might be getting your podcasts. Feel free to go ahead and join the conversation by leaving a comment, liking this video, and subscribing to the channel. Taylor, how are you doing today?
Per usual, I don't have much to complain about. The only thing I have to complain about is this music we're about to talk about. But I'm not complaining about the music. I'm talking about the... I'm too old for surprise albums now. I got real life going on. I don't have time. Like, it used to be that, like, a surprise album came out, I was like, oh my god, this is the best. And now it's like, oh, surprise album on Thursday night, and I got a whole weekend planned out. Like, me and you are, like, talking throughout the week, being like, I don't think we're going to record this weekend. And then, of course... and it's not like a surprise album from a nobody, right? Or even from like a middle tier person that we can be like, all right, it sucks, but you know, we both have real life to live. It's like, no, it's Cole, so we have to talk about it.
Yeah, 1000%. That being said, I think we should just get into it on this episode. Like, as I just said, we are going to be discussing Might Delete Later by J. Cole. This mixtape is 12 tracks long, 43 minutes long, featuring Ari Lennox, Young Dro, Gucci Mane, Cam'ron, Boss Twice, Central C, Daylit, and Absol. Like, once again, join the conversation in the comments below. That being said, Taylor, what is your first reaction to Might Delete Later?
My first reaction to this is a lot different than it would be to a lot of other projects from big artists. And even if this had just been a surprise album from J. Cole without the context of the whole Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole thing, it would feel a lot different, wouldn't it? I would be excited to be like, all right, what does J. Cole have for us? But the timing of it, especially knowing that Metro and Future are coming back next weekend, there's so much context here that really shifts how I feel about it. So I can't lie, I've been listening to like 5 or 6 songs a lot from it, and pretty much anything with a feature I'm like putting to the side for right now, because like we're in the middle of like this, I don't know if it's a battle, because you know, it's like nothing is like really, really gone too crazy yet, but it's like I'm very concentrated on just the J. Cole rap. So my first reaction is that a lot of the rapping here is good. Now, how it pertaining to like what's going on, I'm sure we'll get into it, because you know, we said we weren't going to get super deep into this last episode, and then like we did, and I think it's just unavoidable, and maybe that's a good thing, honestly. So my first reaction is that all of the songs that are just Cole, I like. I think he's rapping really well. The intention behind some of it is obviously more pointed than maybe some other stuff. So overall, I like it. And it's just another piece into, you know, what we're seeing unfolding, which will hopefully, you know, lead to more good music down the road.
Yeah. My first reactions are, I hope the trolling over the diss track that J. Cole sent at Kendrick doesn't make J. Cole want to delete this project, because overall, like, I think that the music is really, really good on it. It doesn't feel like a J. Cole album, but obviously like not, because it's supposed to be a mixtape. When I first like dropped, I was like, okay, like this doesn't really feel like a J. Cole album, but then like more and more people keep using the word mixtape, and I used the word mixtape before I introduced the album or mixtape, excuse me. So see, I'm gonna be balancing album and mixtape throughout this whole thing. But yeah, like it doesn't feel as cohesive as a J. Cole album does, but obviously it shouldn't, because it's a mixtape. It kind of feels like a For lack of a better comparison, it kind of feels like a untitled, unmastered situation for J. Cole, or like he's just like putting it out for fun. So that's my first initial reaction. I also want to know when these tracks were made. That's something I really, really want to know, and that also would impact how I feel about this as well. Because if these tracks are made within the span of 2 weeks, then this is amazing. But if it's like a bunch of Lucy's, just that he just put together, still a really good project, but some of the luster isn't on it as much as if he made it within the 2 weeks. Also, the release of this album and the presence of the response to Like That adds to We Don't Trust You's instant classic bid, because again, like the the reverberations around the industry that we're getting from We Don't Trust You, this I would count as one of them. So that adds to that. Also, there's lots of talk about J. Cole on this album. J. Cole is talking a lot about him entering his prime now. And we really haven't seen him rap this way on back-to-back albums, like The Offseason and Might Delete Later. We haven't heard him rap like this hungrily back-to-back since Born Sinner in 2014, Forest Hills Drive. So that's really, really good. Also, the T-Minus and The Alchemist having production credits on this album, and the way that Cole just like murders every single beat, it kind of confirms to me how the platinum with no features kind of hurts J. Cole's discography. Like the 2014's Forest Hills Drive, that was cool, but then For Your Eyes Only and KOD really end up being a stain on the legacy, because like if we eliminate those two and we go Born Sinner, Born Sinner, 2014, Forest Hills Drive, The Offseason, and then this, I think that it's a much stronger four albums versus Born Sinner, 2014, For Your Eyes Only, and then KOD. I think that I think that this would be much stronger. And I also with that, I also think that this is a much better body of work than For Your Eyes Only and KOD, especially KOD. Like For Your Eyes Only, I understand like he did like it was like more of like a tribute type album. Like I understand that, like I'm gonna excuse that, but KOD, there's no excuse for that at all. Not period. Yet.
Not good.
Yeah, it's not really that good. So that's my first initial reactions.
Yeah. I agree with you about everything. That KOD For Your Eyes Only era, that's backwards, but it's kind of like when you and I were in college, which is those 4 years, right? It's like those two albums were the time that you and I were in school. Cole was definitely like pulling away from like playing ball with everyone else. And it was definitely like, hey, like I am, you know, at that point he would have been early 30s. It was like, I'm, you know, in my 30s now. Like I know, you know, I have things figured out and I'm going to, you know, like it almost felt like he was like not retiring necessarily, but slowly just like backing away from everything and being like, I did what I was supposed to. And now obviously it's fully, fully come around to where Cole is fully back. And he, like you said, he sounds really hungry. I think it's interesting. You can also tell, especially on 7 Minute Drill, but on some of these other songs through here, that he's been spending a lot of time with Drake. Cause like he's like doing things that like Drake does that we're like, I don't know about that. And then Cole does it. And I'm like, is this a thing now? You know what I mean? We have like the two of the biggest rappers in the world, like doing this stuff. So like, that's interesting to me. I think that, I mean, like I said, Cole is so good at this point at rapping that I'm never going to like listen to a J. Cole song and be like, oh man, that was like so terrible. Like that was unlistenable. Right. And I think that we talk about a lot of artists that do that. It's tough. Cause like, I wouldn't call myself the biggest J. Cole fan in the world. I never have been, you know, I really loved Born Sinner when it came out, but like, you know, I was 15. So it's different. And I don't know how you feel about it. I don't think that like Kendrick on Like That didn't say anything crazy, right? He like made fun of the big three and then he made fun of like Drake's album names, right? He was clever with Drake's album names. And then we have 7 Minute Drill here. We have some other shots here. And Cole is just like, oh, like, you know, it was a very strange diss actually. Cause he was like, yeah, you were in your prime well before, like you were successful well before me. And you have at least two classic albums. But that one that everyone thinks is like amazing, amazing, like a beautiful art project. That one was boring. And it's like, I don't know if that really lands as well as it's supposed to. So I don't know. There's two things stand out to me right now. First of all, I don't necessarily love hiding the response, not hiding it, but putting the response in a mixtape. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, so now we got to listen to 11 songs to hear you respond, right? At least 11 songs to hear what you have to say. And unfortunately, this is, it's not the main event, right? Yeah. It's not what we want. It is what we want a little bit. It's competition, but like, you know what I want and I know what you want and it's not this.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, and I don't think it's a thing where like, oh, he like Cole's going first and then, you know, whatever, there'll be another one right behind him. But it is like the only reason that Cole was brought into this on the Like That verse is that they're on tour together and they're talking about the big three. Like that whole song wasn't really aimed at, or the whole verse from Kendrick wasn't aimed at J. Cole, right? And so now we have a whole mixtape with little shots and then a song with, you know, big shots, I guess. But it's still like, it'd be like if like an undercard fighter like jumped in the ring at the end and was like, all right, I got this. And we're like, okay. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
All right.
I mean, honestly, this played out exactly how I predicted it would, honestly. Like, I knew that J. Cole was going to respond, but, like, I knew that there wouldn't be much venom in the response. Like, it's all, like it's all friendly competition, at least the J. Cole, Kendrick part of it, which I appreciate. Honestly, I'm not as mad as about the having the diss track as the last track on a mixtape as much as you are, because, honestly, these two artists are artists that we rarely hear from anyway. So anything to make them make more music, and if it's all going to be quality music, which I think all this music is, then I'm all for it. Honestly, if Kendrick drops a mixtape with like 7 songs or 10 songs and they're all good songs with a J. Cole diss that doesn't really have much teeth to it, because again, they're doing a friendly competition type of thing, perfectly fine with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. Let's talk about 7 Minute Drill. Let's talk about the main event. Some of the Cole lines are on the first verse. Well, first of all, the first thing is I appreciate that Cole continuously seems to make it clear that this is just for sport. This is not like any beef that they have, any friction that they like. They don't hate each other. They're just doing it for the sport. Two examples of that on 7 Minute Drill. First verse, he's like, "Lord, don't make me have to smoke this nigga because I fuck with him. But push come to shove on this mic, I will humble him." Okay, perfectly fine with that. Y'all still cool. Y'all still cool, but y'all dissing each other for the sport of rap. Perfect. Second verse, my text flooded with the hunger of a toxic reply. I'm hesitant. I love my brother, but I'm not gonna lie. Okay, good. I'm fine with that. However, the issue with this diss track is there are a lot of things that J. Cole tries to say that are not true. They are just straight up not true. I kind of see why it kind of comes this way, comes out this way, because it seems like he's kind of interpolating the Jay-Z, like Jay-Z diss track to Nas. I forget the name of it. Takeover.
Takeover.
Yeah. He's interpolating that. So I see why it's coming out this way, but let's get straight to it, right? I came up in the Ville, so I'm good when it's tension. He's still doing shows, but fell off like The Simpsons. Your first shit was classic. Your last shit was tragic. Your second shit put niggas to sleep, but they gassed it. Your third shit was massive, and that was your prime. Okay, so the first one is a classic. Good Kid, Mad City is a classic. That is true. The last one was tragic. Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. That is not true. Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers is probably one of the best albums of that year. Personally, not my favorite album of the year, but a lot of people love it. The second one, To Pimp a Butterfly, put niggas to sleep. J. Cole, you cannot talk about rappers putting people to sleep. You made For Your Eyes Only and KOD, two of the most boring albums that we've heard from the big three, probably in the whole discography. If you take all three, Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick's discographies, and you put them together unanimously, the most boring ones are For Your Eyes Only and KOD. You cannot say that, J. Cole. Yeah, that's really all I have to say about that.
Do you think so a couple things. Do you think the tragic is about the album like not being good, or like the subject matter?
That's okay.
Even if it is subject matter, it is like, okay.
I don't think it's about subject matter. Like I don't think
it is either, but even if it was, it's like, yeah.
Like, I mean, like, if it, truth, it's more true. I mean?
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, like it's more true if it's about the subject matter for sure.
So the other thing here is on our wonderful, well, at least, you know, my favorite app, Twitter.com, X, the amount of people who are like, oh my God, Section 80 is actually first. Like, no, like, Good Kid, Mad City put people to sleep. Like, no, what are you talking? It's like, come on, we know what he's talking about. Like, all these idiots, like, these, like, really, like, they're like, well, Section 80. And I'm like, he's not talking about Section 80. When people talk about Kendrick's,
Section 80 is a classic. Let's not get it twisted.
I'm not arguing otherwise. I'm saying that when he's talking about Good Kid, Mad City, I saw so many people being like, how could he say Good Kid, Mad City put people to sleep? And I was like, he's not talking about Good Kid, Mad City. I was like, you gotta be so stupid to think that he's like, yeah, like one of like the four greatest hip hop albums ever put people to sleep, right? And again, To Pimp a Butterfly, that didn't put people to sleep either. Like, the way people talk about that album has changed so much mm-hmm. over the last decade, because when it came out, we were still, that was still like pre-streaming, or like right at the beginning of streaming, like it, because I remember it got leaked on accident on Apple Music, the clean version did, and then they just had to release it early, and that was right around the time that If You're Reading This, It's Too Late came out, and so that was like the beginning of streaming, but that was still at a point where like albums still carried like way more weight than they do now, right? Mm-hmm. And to say that, like, it's like, come on, that's To Pimp a Butterfly is like with three albums technically, but two albums with like a major label, with just those two, like I was like, oh, this is like, you know, maybe the best rapper ever, mm-hmm. right? Off of two projects. And actually it was funny, because like Damn is probably my least favorite Kendrick project, and it's just because it's the most like, it feels like it's like the most commercial product, but even then, like Kendrick is Kendrick. So it's like you have like, you can have a commercial product and it still feels like the real, like, because he does what he does. So mm-hmm. I don't know. 7 Minute Drill, it's a good song. Like, I like the beat switch. I like the second half more. He doesn't really say as much in the second half, but the second half, I didn't like, it's tough. I love Cole when he's kind of like old school rapping, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think he does that better than anybody. I think he gets on, he can adopt that feel. So I think on the end of 7 Minute Drill, where it slows down a little bit and it's a little more boom bappy, and I'm pretty sure it's Energy by Drake is the sample behind that second half of the instrumental. Mm-hmm. And so I like it when Cole slows down and like really gets into it. The one thing I'll say about, you know, if we could start going song, not necessarily song by song, but I do think he's trying to hit like a lot of very fast raps throughout mm-hmm. this project. And that's not always my favorite. I think he does it well some other places. There's some spots where I just am like skipping the song though, because I'm like, this is good for like a real like big J. Cole fan. But for me, I'm not trying to listen to like someone rap as fast as they can about, you know, so.
Yeah.
But in terms of the context, it's just like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, again, like I don't think that I just have to believe that if there was actual tension between J. Cole and Kendrick, there would be more of a aggressiveness in 7 Minute Drill.
Well, if there was real tension, Soul would not be on this album.
Yeah. That's another thing too. And speaking of Soul, that's the other major headline of this album. Let's talk about Pi. So first of all, it's one of my favorite tracks because of, first of all, anything Absol's on, you already know. I love it. And Absol and Daylit going back and forth, great lyricism. Absol is one of the best lyricists we've ever seen, period, or ever heard, period. Daylit's production on that also is amazing. But the issue and the thing that almost ruins this is I don't understand why J. Cole is putting trans lines, like anti-trans lines, or things that could be interpreted as anti-trans lines in this, when he's saying, if you a demon, is you a demon, or is that demeanor for the gram? Tell us. They plead the fifth. I'm seeing hints of a trans fella in cancel culture's facility. He's no killer, trust me. Beneath his chosen identity, there is still a pussy, period. Blood spilling monthly rather than weekly as a myriad of bodies drop. First of all, like, there's an argument to be made that it's hip hop and everybody gets shot at, which, okay, cool. But if you look at what's going on in the country, read the room. Like, now is not the time for this. Additionally, if you're not a trans person, if you're a rapper and you're not a trans person, you should probably just like stop with the trans lines. Like, they never go well. Like, they literally never go well. So like, optics standpoint, it just never goes well for you. Also, the line isn't really that good. Like, it's not even like, oh, like that's something that nobody else could do. Like, a bunch of people could do that. So I just don't see how those lines add value to the overall song. And it kind of, for some people, I can imagine kind of tanks the song, which is really sad, because Absol and Daylit, again, the chemistry on that, those first two verses are really, really good. And it also, Cole ends his verse, third verse, off saying, how many times is Cole going to rap the album, the verse of the year? This ain't verse of the year. What are you talking about?
No.
Like, that is way better than that. So again, there's more like I understand, it's weird. J. Cole is in such a weird place, because it's like, if they're Drake and Jake and Kendrick aside, if there's anyone who can talk their shit and nobody can really answer to them, it's J. Cole. However, Kendrick is the one who was talking his shit. So now we're like, it's like J. Cole is usually the favorite. If you say like J. Cole versus like any other rapper besides Drake and Kendrick, he's usually the favorite. But now he has to be the underdog, and it doesn't really seem like it's just weird to hear him talk like he's the favorite when he's just so clearly not because he's bad or anything, but just because of how great Kendrick is. So I don't know, like Pie, I'm kind of mixed on. Like, I still love it because of Absol and Daylit, but like the lines, the trans lines that J. Cole has there, it kind of, it's something like, if I could, like, you know how like you like an album, but you might skip a song. Like, if I could skip a few seconds, I'd skip those few seconds, and like I can enjoy the rest of it completely.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tough on so many levels, and I think what you said is like, it's perfect. It's like, it just, however you do it, it never goes well. There's no level of like, oh, like wit or anything that will make it, you know, be received well. It's not like it's, you know what I mean? And it's just such an unavoidable, or not unavoidable. It's such an avoidable thing that you just don't have to, like, especially someone like Cole. It's like Cole, like J. Cole doesn't have to do that, right? Like he doesn't. And it's like on some like, especially because then he talks about cancel culture in there, and like, that's my least favorite type of thing, right? Because then it starts to feel like it's like modern, like Chappelle, where it's like, oh, I'm just going to like say all this shit because, you know, like they're going to cancel me, but, you know, they're not actually going to cancel anyone because people are still going to show up to J. Cole shows. See, people are still going to buy the, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I think there's so much, like you said, it's hip hop and it has a history of, you know, like you said, everyone can get it. And it is definitely a specific section of the audience that takes issue with stuff like this, right? Like, it's a lot of people who are much more socially, it's not like someone like who's just like putting this on and is like, all right, yeah, like I'm gonna put on the new J. Cole album, right? They're just gonna throw it on, they'll listen to the whole thing. It's the people who are like close listening, who are gonna jump on the internet and be like, hey, like, why did this happen, right? Because like, I have to imagine that there's like, you know, millions of casual J. Cole fans who threw this album on and didn't even hear that, right? Like, it just went, it was just another three bars in the middle of a song, and it's one of those things where it's just like, it's so avoidable, and then we don't have to have this conversation, and it's a much larger conversation than me and you can cover right here, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But
also, we're also not qualified to have that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. And that's why I think it's as Cole is relatively not in the same place, because he is the one making the music. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like being like involved in this conversation, it's like, it's an avoidable conversation. It's like, you know, it's trying to weave too much like shit in that doesn't need to be woven in. And sometimes this is why it's honestly refreshing that Drake doesn't touch on like real life stuff. It's like his real life stuff, you know what I mean? It's like, but in terms of like the crazy stuff, like, or not the crazy stuff, but like the real political stuff, like he pretty much stays away from it. And then, you know, and I saw a lot of people trying to draw like false equivalents with Kendrick on what was the song on
Auntie Diaries.
Yeah, like people trying to draw
That's
comparisons
stupid.
There. And it's like, yo, we gotta stop taking stuff as like the lyric cards on Genius, right? We have to stop looking at music like this, because it's like there's so much more context to that, right? And like, I think you and I talked about it when that Kendrick album came out. Like, it was certainly harsh to hear, right? To hear like certain things. But it's such a different, it's not using anything as a punchline. It's not using it as a joke. It's not using it as an insult, right? It's it was a lot different.
There's it's using to teach, there. If anything.
There's context, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, we had this conversation yesterday, and it's tough, man, to like, a Cole album came out and we're just going to end up talking about the larger context. But it's like, you know, when Cole released this album, this wasn't like, oh, like, everybody's going to shift the conversation to just me now. It's like, no, everyone is going to add this to the conversation, and then we can move on from there. But this is where, and Cole's admitted it, he said that he's in third behind the other two, right? Like, he's out of the big three, that he would be in third. And I think how I feel about this album is so, and I'm a much bigger, obviously bigger Drake fan and much bigger Kendrick fan than I ever have been of J. Cole, but there's a level that those two can reach because they give so much of themselves that Cole can't get to, if that makes sense. And Cole gives so much of himself, but it's different. Like, he's so much, and it sounds so like shitty to put it this way, but like Drake and Kendrick are much more compelling characters than, you know, J. Cole in the grand scheme of things. And that could be because when you and I were in our like formative years of really like establishing our taste, he was like pulling away from everything, and he was making those two albums that we don't love. And so then, you know, like the opinion that gets set with me and you when we're 19 or 20 years old, like we're probably going to end up holding that, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like, yeah. Like, yeah. When I was around like the most people my age, concentrated, having these conversations, like every day hearing the stuff, whether it's, you know what I mean? It's like Drake and Kendrick are moving the needle. Like, we have a Drake diss that was just like the second most listened to rap song of the decade. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, because Kendrick did it and he's talking about Drake.
Yeah.
Like if Kendrick came out and dissed some like Larry June, right? Like it wouldn't, and it's tough. And this is where the big three conversation is tough, because there is a certain artist who I think might probably should be number three.
Yeah.
But doesn't.
To your point also. I forget what song it is, but there's a song where J. Cole's like, maybe I just don't have like anything else to say to y'all. Like that, like he says it, he raps it. But like, I think this is kind of an example of that. Like, the raps are still good, and it's still like better than most people, like 99% of current rappers today can make. But like in terms of like substance, it doesn't really seem like he's saying anything much more. And it's weird because like we kind of like put him in the same category of Kendrick once upon a time, in terms of he always has something to say. And now it's like it seems like KOD was kind of the end of that, and KOD and For Your Eyes Only are like, it's either you have something to say and then the music isn't as good, or the music is great and you're talking about nothing. It seems like it's either those two options for J. Cole now, and that's kind of disappointing, because he is someone that we have considered and still do consider part of the big three. But part of the reason why is because he's able to make the good music and then at the same time have something to say. And now those two things are being split. It's kind of weird. Just going real quickly through Pricey, really good intro. Love that. One of my favorite tracks. Ready 24. Love that track too. Getting Cameron on the feature. Beautiful. That one kind of seems like J. Cole is kind of like trying to live a childhood dream. Like, he finally lived the childhood dream. And I love that.
I do too.
HYB. I don't know. The other thing with the Genius cards and stuff like that, everybody's talking about like line, like certain lines that they hate. And it's like, who cares? Like, the alphabet line, I don't care about it that much. Like, it's not the best line ever, but is it the worst line ever? No. Like,
no.
There are worse lines on this album. And like, for you guys to just like take that out and be like, oh, this alphabet line is kind of corny. Like, I mean, like it's smoother than a lot of what your favorite rappers can do. Like, I don't really understand that. Sticks and Stones, like that song. Fever. Fever's a good track. Needs to be longer. Good track.
Yeah.
Needs to be longer.
To me, Fever just doesn't fit here, because I'm like, it's a little more like, I don't know, smooth, I guess. And when I'm looking for like bars, and he's in here like halfway through, he's like, let me give you a smooth one though. And I'm like, all right.
I also like that the track with Central C, is that HYB? That is HYB. Yeah. There's some drill elements on there.
Yeah.
And we see that again on is that Stealth? No, we see that again. It is Stealth Mode. Yeah. And I believe Stealth Mode and HYB have Boss on it. So Boss being on HYB, because Central C is mostly like a drill rapper. Like, he can rap, but like his beats are typically more drill, but he gives you more lyricism than most drill rappers will. Boss being on there with his melody, I feel like that's he's basically the glue. He's basically the Draymond of that song in terms of like putting it all together. And HYB ends up being one of my favorite songs because of that. Before we get into playback value and then final thoughts, do you have anything more? Any tracks stand out to you?
Stands out to me is like 3001 feels like such a nostalgic song, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to have that like intro where he's like, it's the super filtered voice. It felt like a song that we'd get, like a mixtape cut that we would have gotten in 2011 or 2012 from an artist who's like, yo, they're going to be listening to me in 3001. And that was so refreshing. Man, I've kept saying it like now that like we can complain about Cole or whatever, but the adults are in the room, right?
Yeah.
Like, the adults are back in the room, right? Like, Q is here, Kendrick's here, Cole's here, Drake doesn't act like an adult anymore, but he's here. You know what I mean? Like, Future's here. Again, Future and Drake kind of in a similar spot where that's like, yeah, you guys are almost 40.
Metro's here.
Metro. Metro's like the young adult. Metro's like the cool, like, assistant coach.
He grew up a little too fast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but it was because he was like a prodigy, though. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? It's like, no, he's like, yeah, it's like I was making beats for Future when I was 21.
All the 18-year-olds want to go party, and he just wants to sit down and read a nice book and have a nice glass of wine.
He's a graduate assistant. Like, yes. When you see like the guy, college football guy, and it's like, yeah, I played 4 years, got hurt, played a fifth year, and now I've been a grad assistant for 3 years. It's like, yeah, you got it, Metro. You got it. You're setting people up to succeed.
Yes.
You want to get into the end?
Yeah, let's get into playback value. Right. I could go first.
Cool.
It's J. Cole. This is gonna last forever because J. Cole has just like such a huge fan base. It's gonna last forever. But subjectively, I'll probably give it like 6 months, maybe a year. Like, because again, like besides the trans lines and the diss not being as aggressive as or like. It just needs to be a little bit more aggressive, like just like a tad bit more aggressive. And it's like, okay, this is a good response. Yeah.
The only line he had, first of all, he took it from Jay-Z anyways, but the only line that means something is like, oh, he averages like one hard verse every 30 months. Like something like that is like,
it's first like, of
yeah,
all,
you don't
first
rap.
Of all, first of all, before you went on this feature run, J. Cole, so did you.
No, I know, but exactly. Additionally, and now and I think that's why some things fall flat because it's like, oh, you did this.
Yeah, like you did this. Like you're literally dissing yourself. Like, and the other thing too is him talking about like four albums in like 12 months. They have the same amount of albums in the same amount of time.
Yeah. Well, and this is why everyone's like, oh, Kendrick would kill Drake head to head rap. It's like, yeah, probably. Like, you know what I mean? Kendrick's like, sure, but there's one guy who's figured out how to be the biggest rapper in the world for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, and it's not because like, all like contrary to popular belief, it's not because all the music sucks. And it's just like, you know what I mean? So that's where it's like a little different. Cause it's like, Cole, like you did this. You like, when everyone was like taken off into the social media superstar era, you pulled away. Mm-hmm. But.
And another thing to that point too, or just like the overall point of him, like living the childhood dream. I feel like the childhood dream is him being Jay-Z dissing Nas, and Nas being Kendrick, at least in this circumstance. And it's weird because it seems like he's so in this 7-minute drill. He's so much more focused on living the childhood dream than actually making the diss make sense.
Well, that's because in the grand scheme of things here, Cole isn't Jay-Z.
Yeah.
If this is Jay-Z and Nas reincarnated, he's not Jay-Z, right? Yeah. If you want to make Kendrick Nas, like, we know who Jay-Z is, and like that, I'm biased because I'm, you know, I love Hov and I love, you know what I mean, Drake too, but like, anyways, final thoughts, or not final thoughts, playback, objective, I agree with you. J. Cole's fans are going to take whatever they want from this and keep it going forever, especially if this blows up into like a real, real classic rap beef. We're going to have, it'll all be pieces of a puzzle later on that'll be awesome to put together and be like, all right, these songs had these little jabs, and then we'll get the whole, you know, the whole picture.
And we'll finish the story just by saying that Metro and Future changed the game once again.
Yeah, and so that's objective. This is going to, like, the Dreamville fan base is strong enough where they're going to keep this going. For me, there's certain songs in here that I'm definitely taking with me, and we can get... I'll put this right into my favorites. Certain songs are coming with me. Other ones I'm not going to listen to ever again because I'm listening to these songs as part of something larger. I'm not going to Cole to listen to a Cole album. So I can put that right into my favorite tracks. If that works for you, do you want a final thoughts and favorites?
Yeah, let's get through final thoughts and favorites. Cool. Favorites. You can go first.
Perfect. So I think it all plays together for me. So final thoughts is this is a good mixtape, and I like to look at it as a mixtape because it makes me a little nostalgic for when that was a real thing. So I think Cole raps very well throughout this whole thing. I think the disses, if they are disses, fall flat. If they're just little jabs, it is what it is. And that's kind of what this is to me. It's like a jab. It's like a, hey, I'm responding for the sport, but you know, this isn't the main event. That's my final thought. This isn't the main event. Sorry, J. Cole. Favorite tracks, I love Crocodile Tears, and this is, yeah, I'll say this is in order. Crocodile Tears number one, 3001 number two, Sticks and Stones number three.
Okay. My final thoughts are My Delete Later contains great music that will ultimately be overshadowed by a lackluster response to Kendrick Lamar. The production on this album confirms J. Cole's Platinum with No Features run is more of a blemish on his discography. Additionally, with that, J. Cole was like producing like every single track throughout that No Features run too. So like that's really where that blemish kind of comes into play. My top three tracks in order: Pricey, Hesitantly, Pie, and then HYB. All right, this has been episode 4 of the Cap Podcast. Don't forget to leave your comment, leave your opinion of Might Delete Later by J. Cole in the comments below. If you enjoy this episode, feel free to like this video and subscribe to the channel. Follow Old Milk on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Check out all the Old Milk content at oldmilk.co. I'm Nate Sperling, that is Taylor McLeod, and we will be back when hip-hop tells us to, which is probably going to be next week because Future and Metro Boomin are dropping again. Till then, we will see you. Thanks for watching.
We don't trust you.